Backham Academy is now in session. Greetings, Veeam Community Podcast listeners. Before we start with today's podcast, be sure to check out a new community resource, Backup Academy. Veeam has sponsored Backup Academy to provide product-neutral training and certification on both backup and data protection technologies. This material is designed for individuals who may be new to both virtualization and data protection technologies and want to have a good foundation on both Microsoft and VMware virtualization technologies. IT experts David Davis, Greg Shields, Elias Knaser, Eric Sieber, and Rick Vanover have teamed up for this initial release of Backup Academy. Additional content will be added over time as technologies change and new sessions are created. Check out www.backupacademy.com and follow at BCKP Academy on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 37. So you want to work for Veeam? Here we go. Today my guest is Scott Lillis. How you doing, Scott?
I'm excellent. How are you, Rick?
Hey, I'm great. Veeam speed all the way. We're right about to jump into quarter four. It's a busy time. How are you doing? Let's start with that. I mean, are you busy? Are you feeling the Veeam speed?
We're feeling the Veeam speed. Crazy busy. Everyone's really excited. Doing fantastic. Just coming off of VMworld, which was another amazing success for Veeam, and a lot of buzz gets generated from that. So we are busy.
Awesome, awesome. And Scott, tell us a little bit about your role. Where are you on Twitter and all that kind of stuff? Just so in case anybody doesn't know, now they'll know.
Awesome. So I'm at Scott_Lillis on Twitter, and I'm the Director of Systems Engineering for the Americas. So the SEs roll up to me for the U.S., Canada, and Latin America, including our inside team down in Atlanta.
Awesome, awesome. So, you know, for all of the listeners out there, if you interact with technical people like the SEs and stuff like that in the regions that Scott has identified, then you would be their manager. Is that correct, Scott?
That's correct.
Awesome. Cool. So what we want to talk about today are some of the new opportunities at Veeam. I mean, if you follow Veeam on Twitter or on the blog, I guess we take a little bit of pride in the fact that we're growing. Hypergrowth or Veeam speed, whatever you want to call it, we are growing. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in terms of positions, you know, new job opportunities that come up that we post at veeam.com/careers, or you can use the short URL at vee.am/opportunity. And we always are putting in new stuff in there. And, you know, on the technical side, Scott, tell me a little bit about what does it take to be a technical resource for Veeam? What's the normal roles? What are the different types of jobs? In case anybody's interested, what do they need to know?
Sure. So we have four and soon to have five different types of roles in the technical space. And really what we're looking for are people in the virtualization space. So obviously, VMware is a big cornerstone there. So your VCPs, people that really are invested in the community, have some great hands-on experience and want to get into riding the wave with a company that's really incredible in that ecosystem. We've made announcements with Hyper-V support coming out in version 6. So that's relevant as well, and obviously we're a virtualization-focused company. Rick mentioned hypergrowth, which means a lot of new faces, a lot of excitement, and we're constantly adding to staff. So on the careers page, you can send your resume up if that's something you're interested in, and I'm going to go over some of the different roles that we have available. So out of Atlanta, we have an inside SE team, and there's quite a few of them down there that focus on doing things like WebEx, supporting our customers from the inside, and basically working on usually smaller opportunities in the SMB space. They'll be your eyes and ears to help guide you through in a pre-sales type of role, proof of concepts, you know, working through a sure backup job and things of that nature. So that's our inside team, and that is an on-location based in Alpharetta, Georgia. So outside of that, the rest are field positions, and we really have three different types of technical roles at Veeam. One is what we call an enterprise engineer. So these are the folks that are focused on large enterprise accounts. They're teamed up with a corporate account manager, and depending on the district and region, they're going to go in and work on larger proof of concepts, getting to know clients, understanding their virtualized infrastructure, and where our tools can help solve their problems. It's a lot of listening, and it's a great, great job. If you're a virtualization guy, the coolest thing about the SE role is the ability to get into a lot of different companies and really see how everybody's doing things. It amazes me every day when you walk into various people. Some are fantastic and have a very mature virtualization strategy. Some that you would suspect would have their act together don't, and they're a mess. It's kind of fun to watch either way, but ultimately, we're here to help everybody get better, and the enterprise engineer is focused on that, really listening to the clients and showing how Veeam's tools can help, you know, solve some of the issues that they've had. We also have a channel role, channel systems engineers, which are focused on our partners. So all of our deals go through the partner community. We don't do direct business, so we rely heavily on our partner community. It's really a big role because in the channel SE role, you're focused on being a teacher, enablement, going in with those partners and teaching them, you know, about Veeam, how to sell Veeam, getting it up and running in their labs, showing them how to do the whiteboards, and evangelism in general. These folks you'll also see at the VMUGs and various type of partner events around the country and globe. So it's a great opportunity to get there and genuinely be a part of the community. Then at the top of our food chain, from a technical perspective, we've got our solution architects who are really our deep divers, and they're there as a support structure to help everybody else out. So each of our products have architects that are, you know, available to go really deep on any given subject when necessary. And lastly, come Q1, I'm going to be putting management in place as well. So there's just a tremendous amount of growth and a tremendous amount of opportunity in a really exciting company. There's the ability to come in at a pretty ground level with a lot of passion and a lot of energy and move up. We have some of the best and brightest people working for us, and it's really truly a team mentality, and you'll see that TEEAM all over the place when you deal with Veeam folks, and we're real excited about the team that we have.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about a lot of points there, Scott. It definitely is a quick moving and, you know, high opportunity place. You know, if you have the passion, it definitely works out well. And you caught my interest on one thing. You know, when you engage with different people in their virtualization infrastructure, you really don't know what you're going to find. And, you know, the takeaway that we all know, I guess, is that all VMs are not created equal. All VM infrastructures are not created equal. And I think the takeaway is adaptability. You know, we need to be able to engage at any level, from the basic side of, you know, managing or protecting virtualization to people that may actually know it better than us. You know, I mean, we have both ends of the spectrum probably.
Absolutely. We see it all the time, and that's, you know, part of the it's a constant learning experience, just being in virtualization in general, right? VMware is going to come up with a release every year that's pretty major, and we're real excited about vSphere 5 coming out. You know, Microsoft with Hyper-V, they're doing the same thing, a lot of new features coming to market. We also play in the Microsoft System Center and HP OpenView space. So all of our, you know, alliance partners are expanding. Our customers are expanding, and we come across some really incredibly brilliant people. So, as I said, a lot of people that have been doing that virtualization job for a while, you've been coming in, building out your own environment, and it's pretty tight, and you're getting kind of bored. This is a great opportunity to jump in, get on the road a little bit, and really see a lot of different environments and meet some really great people. And it amazes me, you know, not just the people we have internally, but our customers and how they're using our tools in ways that, you know, we never even thought of.
And let me kind of clarify something. I'm going through my notes. You mentioned the different regional territories for which you are responsible, but this structure repeats itself to some extent, maybe different manifestations pretty much globally. Is that correct?
Absolutely. There's a counterpart of mine over in Europe that oversees that space, and we also have a big presence in Asia-Pac and mm-hmm. some of the emerging market regions. So wherever you are on the globe, there's probably an opportunity for Veeam if you're interested.
Right, and then let's also clarify, you know, we're recording today on Tuesday, September 20th of 2011. You know, positions change as, you know, whatever number of factors go on. So always check the veeam.com/careers website for the latest inventory of positions that are available, and you know, see what's available in your market or, you know, along your skill set, and send an email reaching out and take it from there. So Scott, you know, what are some of the challenges, you know, I mean, that these types of people may face? And, you know, there are surely many different challenges, but, you know, if you had to put your finger on one challenge, the biggest challenge for your technical team, what would you say that challenge is?
That's a good one, Rick, because there's depending on what role you're in, there's obviously different challenges. The biggest thing is around this pace. If you've never been involved with a hypergrowth company attached to a hypergrowth market, it's really very, very fast moving. And I think balancing the day-to-day work, going on site, engaging with customers, doing those POCs, and at the same time maintaining your technical edge, going back and kicking the tires on the lab, it can be challenging to find enough time to absorb that. I find myself when I'm on a plane, I load my iPod up with a bunch of podcasts, and I kind of keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on that way. But sometimes it takes some creativity to find some time and really enhance how organized you are to be able to operate in an environment that moves so quickly.
Which podcasts are you listening to, Scott?
InfoSmack Deep Dive.
Okay.
With this crazy guy. I can't remember his name.
Nah, never heard of him.
No, but a bunch of the common community ones that I'll hit on, and you know, we'll load them up and keep them going, and it's a really great way to kind of zone out, you know, throw the headphones on and stay in tune.
Sure. Well, one thing you also said that kind of caught my eye is adapting to the pace. And myself, while I don't work in the organization that you and Dave Siles are in, I will attest that the pace is a change, okay? I did coin the term Veeam speed, but I use that very generically. I almost use it as just this miscellaneous adjective, and sometimes as a verb. So it's really a big change, you know, in terms of, you know, working with bright people all around you, okay? And that's one observation I have. I'm almost 1 year in, and I tell you, it's a wild ride, and I'm happy to be here. So it's good stuff is the takeaway.
Absolutely, and it's a great team as well, and I can't overemphasize, you know, we don't hire individuals, we hire people that are going to plug in and be able to interact, and that can be challenging as well because we're geographically dispersed, so leveraging things like Skype and that thing they call a telephone to interact with your peers across the country, again, building some time to be able to do that, that's a challenge. But, you know, I often use the phrase, it's the law firm, not the lawyer. Right, and if we encounter any issue, I can guarantee you we've got an expert on staff who's walked a mile in that individual's shoes, and it's great. And we're looking for people that are of that team mentality. You know, they're going to bend over backwards to help a peer get through an issue or get the right answer or do whatever they need to do.
Right on. Well, Scott, since you listen to all the good podcasts, you do know that this podcast has a gimmick, okay? And my gimmick is three views from you. And I know that you've been with Veeam for, about 3 years now?
It's coming up on two. November 2010 I started.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, and Veeam Talk, that's an old-timer, I guess.
That's 10 years in regular years.
Right on. So my three views from you segment, as you know, is I'm going to ask you three questions, each referenced in different points in time. And they can be Veeam-related. They don't have to be Veeam-related. They don't even have to be virtualization-related. They can just be, you know, Scott is a technologist, okay? So I'm going to start in the past. Scott, at some point in the past, what's the most interesting technical story or experience that you can share with us?
I've got a lot of them. I've been around quite a while. You know, a lot of it is kind of pushing the limits or jumping on an emerging technology. And in 1991, I founded one of the first internet providers. I'm based in Connecticut, so we started up here, and a lot of caulk and bondo to get that service up and running. And it's real interesting to see that repeated now with a lot of people forming cloud and, you know, basically creating a managed service provider. It's definitely giving me flashbacks, but I have hundreds of stories from getting up and running on a, you know, originally on an AT&T 3B2 with a 56K line, servicing a couple hundred people, giving them internet, email, and news groups, and all that good stuff. So it was a great experience.
Would you say that today, instead of caulk and bondo, we're using hypervisors and SANs?
We are, but there's never don't discount the caulk and bondo. You can do some amazing things with it.
I watch MacGyver. All right, cool. Okay, Scott. Well, how about right now in the present? You know, what area of technology do you have the most passion for right now?
So, you know, we're definitely seeing a shift to this idea of utility computing and cloud, and I think we're all anxiously waiting for bandwidth to ramp up so that we can really see this this utility compute model come to fruition. And it's great because we're seeing it right now. A lot of these managed partners, to use what I just talked about, a lot of the hosters and people doing DR as a service and backup as a service, there's a lot of very cool technologies that are coming out to be able to help your data protection plans in general. So I'm very passionate in this space. It's moving very quickly. And to get two in one, I like also the new SAN providers. I think with the acquisition of 3PAR and Compellent, it's created kind of a vacuum. And I saw it at VMworld. There's a whole host of brand new storage partners that are coming to market and with really interesting angles and some great innovations. And I think it's incredibly healthy and fun to watch.
Yeah, the storage space definitely has this very quick-moving organic cycle. I agree with you 100%. And honestly, some of the new stuff now is based on, you know, the flash and solid-state technologies and the advanced software features around it. Good stuff. How about into the future, Scott? What do you see, you know, longer term that you predict would be most interesting technology-wise?
So I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of these tier one workloads move into the virtualized space. I think, you know, originally what we're seeing with Veeam and what we see living in this ecosystem is that, you know, I think the commodity benefit is done. A lot of people have virtualized for that reason already. And I think what's going to drive the tier one applications into this space is really doing more with, because you've been virtualized, doing things in a more flexible way and quicker speed to market. So I think you're going to see a lot of these applications that are still sitting on physical quickly jumping into virtual, and once they do, some pretty interesting things coming to bear.
I can't disagree with you. I'm actually kind of like slightly tweak that, put the tier one apps virtual. But you know what? If they have a problem, not change the app, you know, redistribute it. You know, I just think that these bricks in the data center, you know, we can get them there. But I really don't want a monster VM. I mean, I know we can do it, but I don't want it. That's just me, though. Anyways.
That's just you.
Yeah, it is. Well, hey, Scott, this has been really informative. Good stuff. I'm going to put links in the podcast notes if anybody wants to check out the current inventory of positions. I do recommend you follow Scott on Twitter. A lot of good stuff there. Scott, thanks again for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Rick.